Oh, it's always interesting to me how my devotions often play into the lesson, and it's going to happen twice in this lesson. I was reading in my devotions last, I think maybe Tuesday morning, and I was reading in 1 Kings chapter 13. You don't need to turn there, but the story takes place during the reign of Jeroboam, and Jeroboam was a wicked king. He of the two tribes, which one was he the king of? I'll give you two choices, Israel or Judah. Try again. If at first you don't succeed, he was the king. Rehoboam was the king of Judah. Jeroboam was the wicked king of Israel or of the northern tribes, and he was a wicked man. And God sent a young prophet to speak to Jeroboam and said, buddy, basically you're going down. God is going to punish you for your sin and for what you've done. And God gave this young prophet a very special command. He said, when you go, I don't want you to stop and eat or drink or stay overnight. Go in, tell the news, and get out. All right? So he's obeying the Lord. He goes in. Now, God has told him specifically what to do. He goes into Jeroboam. He leaves. He's on his way home. There's an older prophet in the land, one of God's prophets, and he hears about this young man. And for some reason, he decides to go see him and invite him to his house. Now, when he did that, the young prophet said, wait a minute, God told me not to stop, not to eat, not to drink, get in, get out. The old prophet said, wait a minute, God told me you're supposed to come spend the night at my house. So we've got two prophets, two messages from God. Now, by the way, those were two very opposing messages. One had to be right, one had to be wrong. Now, the young man said, well, hey, this guy's an older prophet. He knows this stuff. I'll go to his house. And he did, and he ate, and he drank, and he slept, and he got the next day, and he went on his way, and God sent a lion and killed that young prophet because he disobeyed him. Now, what's the point? You can't always believe everything a preacher says. Here is a young man who had a word from God. He knew what it was. He heard a different supposed word from God. Now, the Bible tells us the old prophet lied. Why? I have no idea. Maybe he wanted to be famous and didn't like this young guy getting all the credit, and he was mad because God didn't send him. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But here is a prophet who spoke and who just flat out lied. And as we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21... we're going to look at a passage where God tells us that we need to test every time we hear the Word of God preached or taught, or we read a book about the Word of God, or we listen to a sermon about the Word of God. We need to have some spiritual discernment. One famous pastor today says, if there's any one problem that outstrips all others in the church, it is the utter lack of spiritual discrimination that characterizes Christianity. People today don't have spiritual discernment. Often, we don't have spiritual discernment. Now, I believe in honoring the man of God. But I tell you what, folks, you better check up and make sure that what the man of God is saying is true. If you just sit there and say, well, he's the man of God, whatever he says is true, I'll just accept it at face value, you're going to get in big trouble. Because there are a lot of people out there who claim to be men of God, and they're preaching false things. They're teaching things that are not the truth. So we come to 1 Thessalonians 5:21, and Paul says, prove. What's a synonym for that word? Test, very good. Prove or test all things. And that's really all we're going to get to today, okay, is that passage. Now, he's saying you need to prove the prophets, test the prophets. Number one, I want you to see the priority of testing. If you're taking notes, the priority of testing, and this will be letter A, because of the previous command. Now, we studied this 2 weeks ago. By the way, Larry slipped in. Thank you for teaching last week. The one person I talked to gave a good report. So you're, 100%, buddy. So that's impressive. But I appreciate that. Good.
Larry,
I talked to Larry, yeah. So this is an important command because of the previous command that we studied a couple of weeks ago. What was that? Notice back in verse 20, despise not prophesying. Now, we applied that very specifically to what? The Word of God. Anytime you read the Word of God, anytime someone preaches or teaches the Word of God, and in this context, he's saying, look, folks, whenever you hear the Word of God preached or taught, you need to take it seriously. You should never treat it with contempt or think it's unimportant as nothing. And I don't want to teach that whole lesson again, but let me just ask you, it's been 2 weeks since we taught that. Hello, Mrs. Hill. So good to see you today. Miss Hill's been in the hospital, had some blood clots. You guys sit too close to each other. I think it's contagious. It's great to see you this morning. Good. I got a lot of rabbit trails here. I've been gone for a whole week. I got to catch up on all this stuff. He says, how have you done with the Word of God in the last couple weeks? Have you disdained it? Have you treated it as important? As pastor has preached these last three messages, or actually six messages since that time, have you obeyed the Word of God? Have you listened to it? Now, that command, folks, tells us that we need to treat the Word of God with respect. We need to trust it. We need to read it. We need to apply it. Now, what is the consequence? If we keep that command, what's going to happen? Every time you hear the Word of God preached, what are you going to do? You're going to obey it. You're going to believe it. And if you believe it, you're going to obey it. And it's going to change your life. Now, think for a moment, folks. If you listen to the Word of God that is being preached and you obey it, it's going to change your daily decisions. Every day of your life, it's going to affect those decisions. It's more importantly, it's going to affect your eternal destiny. Now look, think about this, folks. He says you need to listen. When someone teaches about salvation, you need to pay attention and you need to obey it. When someone teaches on separation, you need to listen to it. You need to obey it. You need to do it. So that's that command. Now, there's the previous command. Is there a possible problem with that command? I know it's still summertime, and many of you look like you've been out all day in the sun yesterday or something. What could be the problem with that command? All right, someone comes along, teaches false doctrine, teaches something that's not true, and we say, wait a minute, I'm supposed to accept everything that someone teaches about the Word of God. Don't disdain the Word of God. Now, the problem with that, of course, is that there are people who teach wrong things. Now, some, I believe, teach wrong things honestly. Okay? I've done that in my life. You know, you find a passage and you find it and you look at it and think, wow, that is a wonderful passage. Look at this is something new and exciting. I'm going to preach that. And you preach it, and next week you think, what in the world did I just preach? There are people who don't have the knowledge or the ability to understand the Word of God. There are people who don't study the Word of God the way they should. I was reading a sermon of another man this week, and he was talking to another pastor, and it was, I think, Thursday or Friday, and he said, what are you preaching on Sunday? He said, oh, I don't know, I'm a Saturday night preacher. Well, hallelujah, how much study can you get done Saturday night? You know, here's a man of God who's supposed to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. And by the way, I have known Sunday school teachers who especially teach children, and they begin preparing at 9 o'clock Sunday morning. Well, that's not right, folks. That's not right. And it may be that a person just hasn't studied and they don't know the text. My dad, I'm sure he quoted somebody else, often said a text taken out of context is a pretext. And I tell you what, folks, you can go in the Word of God, and if you're not careful, you can teach all kinds of terrible things if you're not careful, if you don't study. Not only do we take things out of context, but we can also not compare Scripture with Scripture. By the way, let me encourage you. When you're reading the Word of God, and you read something and you say, that's interesting. make sure you compare Scripture with Scripture. Don't take one passage and build a doctrine around it, folks, especially the parables. You get in the parables and you can really teach some strange things. Folks, you need to study the Word of God, and you need to realize that the Word of God agrees with itself. It does not contradict itself. And it's very possible that someone can get up and not study the Word of God and not be profitable. How many of you are hot? I am burning up. Someone touched this over here, and that's sin, by the way. I don't know who turned this down, but I will be checking for fingerprints after class. So I'd rather have you freeze to death than die from heat exhaustion. So look, simple matter of fact is it's possible to teach something from Scripture honestly that's really not true. But you know what? There are many people who are not honest in their teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Let me read you 2 Corinthians 2:17. Paul says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God." Paul said there are many people who are corrupting, they are changing the Word of God. They're not saying what the Word of God really says. Now look, folks, we're living in a day when this is getting greater and greater. More and more going on all the time where the Word of God is being corrupted and being changed. I want you to turn to just over a couple pages to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4. Now, by the way, when would this have been written? Give me an approximate date. Your Bible may actually tell you. Yeah, if you have an old Schofield, it has the Unger's date of 65 A.D., okay? So that was a long time ago, all right? Almost 2,000 years ago. And Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." Notice, "giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." What is he saying, folks? That there's going to come a time when there are seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, people who are lying, they are hypocritical in what they say as they present the gospel, as they present the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. Is that going on today? What's the easiest way to listen to someone like that? Turn on the TV. The majority of the guys you listen to, or women you listen to on TV, I was flipping through the channels over in Florida. I was bored, and I was flipping through, and a lady was there. She was just preaching away, and I thought, well, okay. And I changed channels before I threw up. But at any rate, that's another whole message. By the way, why is that going on today? Because people are not searching the Scriptures. Does the Bible talk to us about women preachers? Well, but Paul was a male chauvinist. Well, but that was in that year. Times have changed. Folks, the Word of God is very clear that the pastor is supposed to be the husband of one wife. Now, I know we're living in strange times, and those things are happening today, unfortunately. But God's Word is very clear about these things, folks. I don't know how I got off on that rabbit trail. Man. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We see more of the same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. And this is a really interesting passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Now, what is sound doctrine? It's just the truth, the preaching, the teaching of the truth, okay? They don't want to hear the truth, all right? "But after their own lusts, their own desires, their own sins, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Now, I'll be honest, when I first read that, I thought, now who's got the itching ears? And it's a little tough to ascertain. I think it's the people. It's the people. They have ears that they want, you know, like a dog. We got home yesterday, I got my old dog. She's on her last legs, I'm afraid. And, you know, what if my dog, oh, she loves me scratched behind the ears. Oh, I feel so good. Oh, yeah, it's great stuff. And that's how people in the church are today. Now, don't preach against my sin. Don't preach against all the bad stuff, but just make me feel good, you know. itching ears. That's what we've got today. In fact, there's a church here in Gray, not too far from here, and they have a sign, and it says, "The church where imperfect people like to attend." Now, I was really curious what that meant. So before I left on vacation, I was studying, and I called the church to ask them, and it was Friday, and the office was closed on Friday. I'm not sure why, so I didn't get to ask my question. So I'm just going to have to guess that that means, you know what, imperfect people feel really good about themselves here. I really don't know what that means. I just assume that it means if you're imperfect and come here, it's okay, you're going to feel good. Is that not teachers having itching ears? People having itching ears? I told you some time ago about one of our church members who was trying to invite a lady, a co-worker, to church with him. And she said, "Well, let me ask you, does your pastor make you feel good?" And really all she cared about is when she came home from church, she felt better about herself than when she went. Now, folks, that's the majority or a lot of the junk that's going on this week. And it's interesting, again, in my devotions, I was reading in 1 Kings chapter 22, and King Ahab, let's try this one. Was he the king of the southern tribe of Judah, the great tribe of Judah, or the wicked tribe of Israel? A little subtle hints there. Sure, he was a terrible king, and he wanted to go out and fight against Assyrians, so he called Jehoshaphat to come up to him, and Jehoshaphat said, "Look, man, I'll help you, but ask your prophets what we ought to do." So Ahab had 400 guys, and what'd they all say? "Oh, yes, do it. Yeah, you are the man. You go and you're going to beat him. It's going to be great. It's wonderful, you know. Yeah, this is great." And Joshua said, "Isn't there somebody else you can ask?" And listen to what Ahab says. "There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire the Lord, but I hate him. Why? For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." Why didn't he like him? He says bad stuff about me. Isn't that what's going on today? Man, I want to go to a church, man, where I can feel good, you know? One Presbyterian leader, now listen to this, folks. He said this: "If we don't change our morals to accommodate today, we're going to lose all our members." Which is interesting because they have accommodated their morals, and guess what? They're still losing all their members. Yeah. Now, just to be fair, I want to read a quote from a good Baptist, okay? All right. I read this recently, two or three weeks ago. I was reading and saw the headline. I want to read it. This guy, by the way, his name is Jimmy Carter. You may have read this. He said, "I can't show you a verse, but God is for anyone who truly loves one another." What was he talking about? Homosexual marriage. "I can't give you a verse. I can give you a whole lot of verses on the other side." Now, here is a religious man would profess to be saved, obviously very liberal. But he says, "You know what? I can't find it in the Bible, but I know God loves everybody, and if somebody loves everybody, somebody else, it's okay." Goodness gracious. How about the prosperity gospel? Now, the majority of TV preachers preach the prosperity gospel. Now, there's a good reason for that, by the way. What is the prosperity gospel?
You send in your money, they become
prosperous. That's exactly right. Look, God wants you to be healthy and wealthy and happy. Now, that's a wonderful thought. There's only one problem. It's not in the Bible. And as some of you already mentioned, the way that you get wealthy is by making them wealthy. I looked up a definition. It says that financial blessing is the will of God for Christians. Tell the Lord Jesus Christ that. Tell the Apostle Paul that. It says, and that faith, positive speech, and donations to Christian ministries will increase one's material wealth. In other words, look, buddy, God wants you to be really rich, Mark, and if you'll just send me lots of money, he'll make you rich. And there's only one person getting rich on this deal, and it's me, not Mark. It's amazing. This kind of prosperity gospel, you know where it's, it's everywhere now, but the majority of the people that believe the prosperity gospel are people living under the poverty level. Something's not right. Something's not right. Now look, you say, well, Gary, but these are just beliefs. These are just doctrines. They're just teaching. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. And he says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. And the word science is the word knowledge or gnosis. And of course, in that day, you had all kinds of people who say, well, you got to have this special knowledge. You got to know this special thing. You got to have this special revelation. And he said, look, when you accept those things, verse 21, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Let me ask you a question. Does it matter what you believe? You better believe it matters what you believe. Because what you believe is going to affect how you live. And that's why we need to be discerning. We can't just go out and accept everything and say, well, it's just what I believe. It's just in my mind. It's nobody. Because, folks, that's going to change your life. It's crucial what you believe. And I tell you, folks, this idea that God is giving revelation today, there are people, and you may, again, turn on your TV, you'll probably find one of them, that there are modern-day prophets, that God is still speaking through people today, there's new revelation coming all the time. Again, that sounds sweet, that sounds nice. The only problem is that God closed the canon of Scripture, it is done, and in Revelation 21, 22, you add to it, you're in big trouble. But folks, it's everywhere. Think about it. Think of all the cults. What do they all have in common? There you go. Thanks, Dave. That was good. They all claim to have new what? New revelation. The Mormons have what? Well, they got the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, all the other books. The Muslims have the Quran. Christian Science has Science and Health with Keys to Scripture. Jehovah's Witness have the Watchtower magazine. By the way, I hope if I ever come to your house, I don't see Watchtower magazines on your coffee table. It's just wicked, folks. False teachings lead to a false faith. Now think about it. Why this is so crucial. Why this command where he says, prove it, folks. Test it. Why is it so crucial? Think about your salvation. What if you listen to the wrong person and listen to what they say about your salvation? What do most people say is the way to get to heaven? Do something. Please God, satisfy God, do something. Join the church, get baptized, take communion, give to the church, serve the church, dress a certain way, do a certain thing, kill people who disagree with what you believe. It's all out there, folks. Now let me ask you a question. Are any of those people going to heaven? Only if they have faith in Christ and Christ alone. If you add something to Christ, you don't have salvation. Boy, that's important. What about separation? There are people today, and you heard a great message on this 2 weeks ago. In fact, a two-part message from the pastor. It's okay to use any kind of music because music's all moral. If you missed that message, I would encourage you to go back. You can go online. You can watch it there. You can get the CD or DVD of it. Folks, that teaching is rampant. It is rampant. And by the way, if music is all moral, if it's neither right nor wrong, then why shouldn't we use all of it? We should use rock and roll. We should use rap. We should use country. We should use whatever's out there. If music's immoral, hey, we can use it to reach people. And that's what most churches are doing today. Now look, if there is right music, then there's wrong music. Okay? What about alcohol? It's okay. It's okay to drink alcohol. I mean, after all, Jesus made the water into wine, right? Majority of people you hear are going to teach that today. Hey, it's okay to yoke up with the world and the religious leaders. Even if we don't believe what they believe, we can yoke up with them for the cause of getting people to Christ. You know what? It doesn't matter how you dress. Just be comfortable. Come as you are, leave as you came. You know, it doesn't matter. And by the way, I'm talking about separation here, not salvation. There are many people in Brazil that Graham deals with that if a woman doesn't, if she wears makeup, she's not going to heaven. Now, I'm going to leave that alone right there before I get in trouble, okay? If a woman wears jewelry, she's not going to heaven. Okay? Now, I'm talking about separation here, not salvation. Can a person dress immodestly and go to heaven? Now, they'll be ashamed when they get there, but can a person drink alcohol and still go to heaven? Yes. Sure. So I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about separation. But hallelujah, folks, does the Word of God tell us about these things? Does it give us guidance about these things? Sure. You know, should a Christian look different than the world? Should they smell different? Should they act different? Hallelujah, yes. We're a new creature. We were, for some of you fishers, oh, Roger's here now. I can talk about fishing. Good. We went to Bass Pro Shop Friday night. And did you realize they have motors for boats by itself that cost $16,000 just for the motor? I mean, it was massive. I don't know if the boat ever touched the water. It just kind of zoomed across. It's incredible. But we got on some of these boats, you know, and, of course, they were not in water. They were sitting there, and we were. I was driving a boat, and my grandchildren were on the boat. It was so exciting in Bass, you know, Bass Pro Shop, and we walked out of there. We were just trying to find some their little puppy place, and we wanted to look at the puppies. And we walked right by this bar, and they were packed in that thing shoulder to shoulder, and there was some live, I guess you'd call it entertainment, and it was just going crazy, and you could just smell the alcohol, and I thought, I have no desire for that at all. I mean, what in the world? And I wonder how many believers are in there. Because some pastor got up and said, you know what? It's okay for you to drink some. Now, years ago, when we were designing our website, somebody told me about a guy who did websites, and he said, go to a local church. I'm not even going to tell you the church. But I thought, go to their website and look at their website and just see what it's like, and this is one we did. Okay, so I went, and there's a sermon. Is it okay for Christians to drink alcohol? I thought, wow, that'd be neat to see what this guy thinks. And so I opened it, and I watched the message, and here's what he said. Some of you were raised in fundamental, strict homes where you were taught it was never right to drink. And I want to tell you today that God's word allows you to drink alcohol. And I thought, you haven't helped anybody, but I guarantee you've now hurt somebody. Now, this was probably 10 years ago, and I can't prove it, but I would almost guarantee because of that statement, there are broken homes from that church because somebody said, you know what, I'm going to do that. I know pastors, big-name pastors, leaders in fundamentalism. One of them had to leave the ministry because his doctor said, you've got nerve problems, you need to start just drinking a little bit. And he got caught. Now, this is a leading man of God, okay? And he got caught. See, what we say as pastors, just drink, or people, just drink a little bit. It's okay, it won't hurt you. Now, here's a pastor, a man who has great self-control, and he got pulled over for DUI. See, folks, he says, you need to test everything you hear. Because if you don't, it's going to lead you astray. And I'm not going to get to the end. We're going to finish this next week. But I'm just going to stop here just for a second. Because I'm telling you, as a believer, if I say something and you say, wait a minute, that doesn't seem right. All right, go to the Word of God. And if I'm wrong, Hallelujah. Come and tell me. Now, don't tell me after Sunday school. Say, you know, I've got to go to choir practice. We have a church service. Come to me after church and do it with the right attitude. And have scripture. And if you do, hallelujah, I'll say, you know what? You're right. I don't know what I was thinking. That was stupid. We should never listen blindly to anybody and say, well, my pastor said, wait a minute. That's always good if it lines up with the Word of God. And that's really the last point we're going to get to. We won't get to it today. All right, the priority of testing. Secondly, the process of testing. What does the word mean? The word prove, you've already heard this, to test something to reveal whether it's genuine, to see if it's true, to see if it's genuine. If you look for that Greek word in your King James Version, it's translated discern, prove or approve, to try or to examine. Let me give you a couple examples. In 1 Peter 1:7, the word is found twice. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, look, you're going to be tried by fire, just like a metal is tried by fire to see if it's pure, to see if it is really what it looks like it is. He said, you need to try it, you need to test it. Let me give you one other. In 1 John 4:1, he says this, beloved, believe not every spirit. Okay? Have you got that so far? When you hear somebody preach the Word of God or someone teach it or you read a book, and boy, this is, be careful who you read. Okay? Just because he's popular or she's popular doesn't mean they're right. In fact, probably, if they're popular, they're probably wrong. Okay? I'm afraid often we as believers, we go to the bookstore and we think, wow, look at all those books. Wow, that must be good. And we get that book and we just eat it up and wait a minute. Does it align with the Word of God? Folks, you need to try the spirits. You need to test them. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Okay? Now, I think I've got a little time here. The means of testing. Let me give you some negative things. How should you not test? All right, number one, don't test by your emotions. Well, I went to that church and it just felt right. Oh, I just felt so at home. Now, to be honest with you, if, you know, we've got some folks that are relatively new in our church, and we hope you feel at home. You know, we don't hope you feel like an oddball or something. But that's not how you make a decision. Oh, we're going to go to that church because my kids love it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who gave your kids the right to choose your church? And what do they know about spiritual things? You say, I bet no one ever says that. Yeah, really? Emotions. Well, you know, what's the problem with your emotions? Well, your emotions are as corrupt as they can be, okay? That's the problem. Secondly, how about experience? Now, listen to this. Are you awake? Listen to this. This guy is David Watson. He's the leader of the Vineyard Movement, okay? You ready? He says, we are in the process of cataloging our experiences so we can come up with a theology. Did you get that? We're cataloging our experiences so we can come up with a theology. What's their theology based on? Their experience. And I have talked to people before and I say, look, here's the Word of God says, yeah, but I did it or it happened to me, so it must be true. Is it any wonder we're in big trouble, folks? Let me give you this and I'll quit. Peter was a man who went through a great experience. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Wouldn't you like to have been there? I mean, the inner three, and here's Moses and Elijah, and the Lord's being transfigured, and his glory is being revealed. Wow, what an experience. And Peter comes to 2 Peter 1:19, he's talking about that experience, and he says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. What kind of theology do you have if it's based on experience? Hallelujah. If I base my theology on my dreams, I would have some really odd theology. I've had some weird dreams this week. One of them was that it was 10:30, and I wasn't done with my lesson, and I was no way I was going to get done, and I couldn't find it, and it wouldn't print out. You know, teachers have these kind of weird dreams. And if you base your theology on experience, folks, you're in big trouble. And Paul or Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. See, Mike has an experience, and he interprets it one way. Mark has an experience. He interprets another way. I have an experience. I interpret another way. And by the way, lots of people living on experience. You ask somebody, do you know if you die today, you're going to heaven? Oh, let me tell you about my experience. Oh, my. And it's something just off the wall, and you're thinking, hallelujah, what in the world? People make their decisions based on experience, on emotion, on intellect. Well, you know what? It just makes sense to me. Now, again, what's wrong with your intellect? It's corrupt. It's fallen. Okay? Now, next week, you already know the answer to this, but we're going to look at three or four passages to talk about the right source for testing things. Now, you know what it is, but we're going to try to nail it down for you next week. Now, let me encourage you, folks. Paul comes to this end of this book, this great book, and he says, I want you to prove all things, test all things. Let me be honest with you. As pastors preaching this morning, as I have been teaching today, what should you be doing? Well, Preacher Jody said it. It must be true. Now, hallelujah, I think we can trust him. Okay? If Preacher Lashley said it, I knew it was true. Okay? I mean, it was like God spoke to him from heaven. It's got to be true, you know? No matter who you hear, no matter who you read, what should you be doing? Testing. 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 Is it genuine? Is it genuine? We'll nail it down next week, but you test it. You test it. You test it. Okay? All right. Lord, we do pray that you'd help us to become discerning believers, people who run to the Word of God and compare Scripture with Scripture and find truth. Lord, help us not to be sucked in by false teaching or false ideas. God, help us to be discerning believers this week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.